ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Poll numbers have reflected concerns over President Biden's age and ability to serve a second term. But at his first re-election event in Philadelphia, some AFL-CIO union members said,
"No concerns with his age. Joe is very active. He's on top of the things that he's doing with the country.
I work alongside guys that are 76 years old and still laying bricks. So if he can do the job at his age, you know, more power to him."
President also toured the section of Interstate 95 that collapsed in Philadelphia. Pennsylvania's governor says it's going to reopen within 2 weeks. Overnight violence left one person dead in Willowbrook, Illinois, where the county sheriff says at least 20 people were shot at a gathering. There's no indication of a motive and no suspect in custody. Secretary of State Blinken meeting with China's foreign minister on the first day of his trip to China. And more extreme heats expected today in the south, especially in the area stretching from Houston to New Orleans. The heat index could reach 120 degrees. This is ABC News. A Michigan man's been charged with planning a mass shooting at a synagogue. Federal prosecutors say 19-year-old Sean Petilla stockpiled weapons and expressed neo-Nazi ideology and anti-Semitic beliefs on social media. ABC's Jay O'Brien has more.
The Anti-Defamation League says anti-Semitic incidents spiked 36% between 2021 and 2022, the highest on record in close to 50 years. An attorney for Petilla declined to comment, but investigators say he told them he did not intend on following through with the mass killings he spoke about.
Petilla's mother told ABC News her son was consuming anti-Semitic content online when he was isolated during the pandemic and did not have access to mental health treatment he needed. The head of the UN Development Program visiting reconstruction projects that are underway in Ukraine. He said early projections show Ukraine will need at least $400 billion to recover from the war. Brian Clark, ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Geese are getting to be a bigger nuisance in Wisconsin parks, but animal rights advocates are urging communities not to euthanize them. More from Mike Moan.
Mid-June is considered a key time for cities to carry out elements of their control plans, because that's when geese lose their flight feathers and grow new ones. Mary Telfer with Alliance for Animals says places like Madison and Maquonago have turned to lethal options at various points. They round up geese and either euthanize them at meat processing plants or through gas chambers, actions she calls cruel and inhumane.
These are highly intelligent birds, and they have a strong family structure. They mourn when they lose a partner or a family member or an egg.
And she says the gas is used for baby geese and results in a traumatic death. The group urges local agencies to stick with other strategies like habitat modification. Madison officials say they rely on several non-lethal practices and euthanasia only as a last resort. Telfer says it's understandable some people are annoyed about navigating bird poop, but she adds they might not be happy to know about the lethal action sometimes used to keep populations under control.
I doubt very much if someone is complaining about some goose poop and they call the park district to say clean it up. I can't imagine most people would be okay with this.
And her organization is working with a group in defense of animals to sound the alarm over a planned roundup this summer in Maquonago. Cities that consider lethal strategies coordinate such efforts with the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. Mike Moan, Wisconsin News Connection. Find our rate trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This is the Empowered Caregiver. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here are the Empowered Caregivers and your hosts, Kristen Voss and Liza Hellenbrand.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Liza.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers. Today we're here with Jenny Neugart and Sally Flashberger from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. We have been partnering with the board for monthly spots on our show to discuss the amazing work they are doing with and for people with disabilities and their families.
Sally Flashberger, did I say that right?
Flashberger.
I was like, you added an extra syllable.
Everybody adds an E on it.
Well, no, it's funny. Every week, I'm always interested to see what Liza's going to do with the names.
I do my own thing.
Yeah, she does.
Everybody gets their own new name on our show. Yep. And Jennifer Neugart, if I said that right. All right.
That's correct.
All right. Sally and Jennifer, as I like to call them, help create strong grassroots leaders through their partner and policy making program. These leaders continue to do the work of advocating, for the needs of those with disabilities and the caregivers that support them. Change doesn't just happen. Countless people give their time and resources to create change, and we look forward to talking to those that are making change happen. Welcome.
Yes, before we dig into the great work that you two do at WBPDD, and before you tell us a little bit more about yourselves, I just want to be transparent and let everybody know that I know these two because I did the Partners in Policy Making program last year and learned so, so much. So that's going to come out a lot in the interview. But enough about me. Let's hear what you two, what your role is at the board and if you have any personal caregiving experience, please.
Sure. So I've been at the board for 3 years. I work on a project called the Living Well Grant, and that focuses on home and community-based services, so family care and IRIS. But I also help facilitate the Partners in Policymaking class. So, and I am the parent of a young man with a developmental disability. And I am also a partner. So before I came to BPDD, I went through Partners. So I am also a partner in policymaking graduate.
Yay. And how about you, Jenny? You go by Jenny, right? Instead of Jennifer?
I do.
That's what
yep.
I thought.
It always confuses people. My screen says Jennifer. So I am the grassroots community organizer for the board. Which means I get to run some really fun projects around leadership and self-advocacy. So obviously one of my projects is Partners, But I also oversee the Sparks grants. They're like little mini grants for people who have great ideas of things to do in their community that would include people with disabilities. I also co-lead the Disability Vote Coalition with my partner over at DRW, Disability Rights Wisconsin. And I oversee the Youth Leadership Forum, which is a high school leadership and self-advocacy training program.
Wow. And that one I can relate to, because that one my son actually did. So exactly. Not a policy partner yet, but
you'll be a partner soon.
I will be a partner soon, and I appreciate the great work that you do with people of all ages. So it sounds like your days at the board are long and full, and I thank you for your great work. We're going to dig in a little bit on the partners in policy making work that you do. If you can explain to us, Jenny, what partners in policy making is and what the goal is.
Yeah, it's partners is a 6-session program that takes place. It's about every month. From October, November to May, that the class meets to talk about leadership skills, systems change, a big focus on legislative advocacy. The goal really is to create more leaders in the disability field. So we have a really rich disability history that oftentimes gets forgotten. And it's one of the things we cover in Partners is the history of the disability movement. And people are always surprised by, you know, how strong that movement was. But we're sort of losing ground because we don't have as strong advocates as we used to have back, you know, when we were fighting like for the ADA and all kinds of, you know, access to buildings, to transportation, to all kinds of things. So we need to get that back. The point is that we have graduates. We have probably close to 300 graduates in the state of Wisconsin now. And so if we have an issue going on in our state around whatever it is, caregiving, voting, transportation, we can light up this network of people who've gone through Partners and count on them to actually pick up that phone and call their legislator or email or, you know, and reach out to two or three of their friends and get them to act on issues that are really important. Partners is also part, it's a nationwide program. It was started in Minnesota. Wisconsin had, I think we're going into our 13th year, if I'm remembering right, Sally.
Close.
And so the nationwide network, there's about 27,000 graduates if you take into consideration all the states who host a partners program. So we're growing fast and furiously.
And that makes sense. You know, I was really just thinking as you were saying that you're right. This advocacy work doesn't just happen. You know, people just don't wake up and decide today I'm going to go to the Capitol and what the heck do I do when I'm there? That takes a lot of organization. And I can see through the years how maybe that would dwindle. You know, you had your big fight in the ADA and then people kind of lose ground, right? But that can't happen because the needs are always going to be there and are always going to be changing.
Right. And I just want to let the audience know that ADA represents is referencing the Americans with Disabilities Act, excuse me. And it was the legislation that essentially said buildings, transportation, everything that's getting public funding has to have accommodations, right? And they had to modify a whole bunch of things. Am I correct, Jenny?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. And I think you're right. There was the history teacher in me knows that was a huge, passionate goal that people from all different walks of life and all different experiences participated in. And there were some really intense visuals that we saw of people who were paralyzed, people who were coming out of wheelchairs and trying to climb stairs to really right. represent how limited they were as a result of their physical disability, and that it was just horrific, right? And so I think it was a very galvanizing moment for the country and for advocacy as a whole, and then definitely for the disabilities community. For me, what I recognized by being a partner and just by being Nicole's mom is that a lot of what's, I don't want to say that people with physical disabilities, their fight is done. not by any stretch of the imagination, but I think what we're dealing with now is a lot of these hidden disabilities, right? And that those folks are getting limited from all different types of things that they're not even aware of, we're not even aware of, and we need that constant galvanizing of advocacy so that people recognize what we're talking about. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say that's really very true. I think the other thing too is that there's so many more pieces besides just the accessibility barriers. You know, when we're talking about, you know, being able to live in the community, being able to be employed in the community, you know, being able to be included in your school. So those are some of the topics that we talk about because, you know, those things are just as important. And while we have laws that, you know, and regulations that protect that, you know, it's still a fight to make sure that that is really happening. It doesn't just happen because there is a law. And that's what we try to, you know, teach people is how you're going to advocate when there is a change or we need to make a change to a system or a policy or a law. So, you know, that's the really important piece. And people really come to partners, most people don't understand the legislative process, even us advocates who
broken down at a level that was very understandable, but not insulting. Right. So Schoolhouse Rock, those old, you know, this is how I became a Bill. I can't sing, but that was what I would fall back on in a lot of ways. You guys didn't quite do the Schoolhouse Rock version, which was good, but it really made it understandable. And so I really appreciated that.
And when you're talking about the partners in policymaking, I'm just curious who can participate in that.
So partners is for parents or primary caregivers of children who are under the age of 21 with developmental disabilities. Adults with developmental disabilities can apply, and also siblings, adult siblings, and family members of adults with developmental disabilities can apply. So this isn't really something for professionals. It really is parents, family members, and adults with disabilities, because there's a very specific dynamic that, you know, we kind of don't want disruptive with professionals who might be coming at things from a different angle.
Right. It's that grassroots approach.
Yeah, and we actually became
personal experience.
Right. And you start becoming connected to the other participants because, as you said, it's 6 months, yeah. six months. I know that we've been trying to do a reunion with my group. I think a couple people got together in Milwaukee and we're trying to get together something for an anniversary here in Madison. And so there's a personal piece, and it helps that we are able to share stories, learn from one another. And yeah, it doesn't have that professional, not that the professional, we need the professionals, but not that it just doesn't have that extra layer that can get complicated when you're trying to articulate your struggles and you don't want to step on the toes of a special education teacher, right? You don't want to step on the toes of one of the direct service providers. It's not about that. It's about learning how we as family members and people that are being, you know, touched by this, how we can work together to get what we need. We are going to be back in just a moment, though, to talk a little bit more about the direct connection for family caregivers. Stay tuned.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISBRAP. That's 833-947-9000. 8727 or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin.
At noon, Civic Media Network News.
At 12:15, Town Call.
1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show.
3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we've been talking with Sally Flaschenberger. Okay. What? Sally and Jennifer from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. They help create strong grassroots leaders through the Partners in Policymaking program. These leaders continue doing the work of advocating for the needs of those with disabilities and for the caregivers that support them. And we were talking about your Partners in Policymaking program and how you really become a community through that, and you get to know each other. And so I'm just curious how you guys have personally seen people grow through this program.
Yeah, I would say, you know, everybody comes at it from a different perspective. I think, you know, the great thing is we have a balance of family members and people with disabilities. So often what we see is that the family members are growing by seeing people with disabilities participating and hearing about their lives. And, you know, we have family members who have kids of all ages, so young to, you know, 21. And I think it's really that amazing journey of seeing, having them understand that they can have the highest expectations for their son or daughter or their sibling, and really begin to understand that there is an independent life, that it at some level there is some independent life that the person they love can really participate in.
Sally, you are spot on, and I didn't even have that in my head until you brought it up. But that is so true, that this was one of the first opportunities
that the person they love can really participate in.
Sally, you are spot on, and I didn't even have that in my head until you brought it up. But that is so true, that this was one of the first opportunities where I got exposed on a regular basis to parents who had blazed the path ahead of me. And they already, yourself included, already had adult children out and about or at home with different levels of support. But it helped me see a future for Nicole that I haven't known existed, because I didn't know adults with disabilities, because as we were all coming of age, they were segregated, unfortunately. And so I have lived this life as Nicole's mom going, what happens when Nicole reaches adulthood? I don't know. Right. And Partners was one of the first places where I got to see it, because not only did I see it from other parents, but I actually got to see adults with disabilities talking, using, you know, different types of communication devices, really talking about the limitations they had for voting and for transportation, right, in a way that I've read about, but I didn't live it or see it yet. And so, yeah, that part was a phenomenal, like, byproduct.
Well, and I totally agree. I feel the same way. You know, everybody that has empowered me to do what I get up and do is people that led the path before me, and I could see the outcomes for them, excuse me, and it made me realize that, okay, I need to fight the good fight. Mm-hmm. And I am the parent to Caden, a 19-year-old on the autism spectrum that also has an intellectual disability.
Yeah. And so the thing that I appreciate what you were just thank you, Liza, for having us do that. But what you were just talking about, Sally, in terms of the kind of like secondary benefit that happens for people that are participating in Partners, can we go back a step and also talk about
sure.
what are some of the specific topics that you think come up in the Partners in Policy Making program that are really sure. relevant for our family caregivers, since that's who's listening to our show, right? That's our audience.
Right. So, and Jenny touched on some of those. So we do have really specific topics that we go through. You know, we talk about the history of the ADA, kind of history of institutions, but then we get into the kind of the meat of it where, you know, community living, community employment, inclusion in schools, self-direction. I mean, really, we're taking people through kind of all of those topics. But what's happening during that is kind of this kind of realization about what can be. And we do that by bringing in other speakers, people with disabilities, with lived experience. I mean, it's really important for people to see what can be. And I think that's what's important about Partners, is that we really are focused on people living their most self-directed lives in the community, whether that's from an early age of children being educated inclusively up to, you know, living in the community independently as an adult. And so often we have people who come and maybe are at first like, that's not possible. And I will tell you, every year we see an evolution of what's happening, and that they really come to a realization that there is self-direction for their son or daughter or sibling in some what's happening, and that they really come to a realization that there is self-direction for their son or daughter or sibling in some manner.
Well, I love that aspect of kind of self-discovery, right? And going back and learning about the history of disabilities. And, you know, I can see the value that my son had in the program that Jenny works on for mm-hmm. the youth. You know, he really went from a place of feeling like kind of an outcast that already depends on other people and, you know, not quite sure about himself, to having a real pride and sense of who he is, what that means, and what he has power to do with that.
Yeah, it's been a
I would say, too, that because, you know, half of the class participants are people with disabilities. And I would say as a caregiver that the people who are participating in our class who have disability giver, that the people who are participating in our class who have disabilities, I think their own family members, even though they're not participating, see real change in kind of the trajectory of their lives after participating in Partners.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about Partners and Policy and how it benefits not only the people involved, but the great work that they do up at the Capitol.
Summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Poll numbers have reflected concerns over President Biden's age and ability to serve a second term. But at his first re-election event in Philadelphia, some AFL-CIO union members said,
no concerns with his age. Joe is very active. He's on top of the things that he's doing with the country.
I work alongside guys that are 76 years old and still laying bricks. So if he can do the job at his age, you know, more power to him.
President also toured the section of Interstate 95 that collapsed in Philadelphia. Pennsylvania's governor says it's going to reopen within 2 weeks. Overnight violence left one person dead in Willowbrook, Illinois, where the county sheriff says at least 20 people were shot at a gathering. There's no indication of a motive and no suspect in custody. Secretary of State Blinken meeting with China's foreign minister on the first day of his trip to China. And more extreme heat's expected today in the south, especially in the area stretching from Houston to New Orleans. The heat index could reach 120 degrees. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186. 954-1186.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now. 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO. 608-949-8989.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we've been talking with Sally Flashberger and Jennifer Newgart from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities and the Partner in Policy Making Program. And we've learned so much along the way that I just wanted to make sure that we're not missing the big chunks that you guys deem important. I hate the thought of you going off air and saying, oh, I forgot to mention this or talk about this. So I just want to zip it for a minute and give the microphone to you and let people know everything that they should about the Partners in Policy Making Program.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So we talked in the last segment about a lot of like the topics and discussions that we have, but we also have a lot of specific activities that we do with the class to make sure that they feel prepared to, you know, go ahead and advocate legislatively in a variety of ways that's, you know, beyond just talking to your legislator. So we do a lot of role plays. We will actually role play, you know, here's a topic, spend a few minutes thinking about how you would put together, you know, your talking points, and then you will come and talk to Senator Flashberger and Representative Newgart about your topic. So you actually get that practice and some real-time feedback on talking to your legislator. We have you develop a 30-second elevator speech. So if you were to bump into a legislator or a decision maker, you've got your canned speech ready to go. We do mock hearings. So if anybody had interest in like testifying at a hearing, we actually run through how that would work and how much time you have. And those activities are typically around an issue that is most important to you, the participant. So for the past several years, caregiving is the number one topic that we hear over and over and over. So you do have a chance to take what's important to you and actually apply it in the class. So I think that's important for people to know. You'll get some hands-on experience. And yeah, we talk about things like being on a committee, running for boards, things like that. So there's many ways you can be involved and a strong advocate.
I would just add that, you know, in that we're really teaching people how to tell their story. So what is your family story about disability, about, you know, how disability affects you, your family member, and how does it relate to whatever that issue might be, and knowing how to tell that effective story, because that's what legislators tell us is the most important thing.
Oh, Sally, you've just reinforced so many of the conversations we've been having this budget season with the legislators that have come on our radio show, talking about how people can how people can advocate for some of their concerns with the legislature, and stories. So what we also like to do in our show here, especially in the third segment, is pivot and ask you guys some of what we call powerful questions. These are questions that turn you a little bit to go inward and reflect on your own situation and your own experience. And so I'm curious what you think is one of the greatest success stories from the whole partner's experience that you've had that you would like to share. So it can be a personal story of something, how this program and working in this program has helped you grow, right, and made you, given you a success, or you've seen a particular specific legislative or advocacy action that a partner has made and that you see as a great success.
Well, I, for sure, for me, because this happened during my partner's class, was around the Save Iris kind of grassroots campaign. So many years ago, Governor Walker was proposing to eliminate our long-term care program called Iris. A group of partners, you know, really got together. We started meeting on Sunday nights with the help of DRW and BPDD and really worked on that one issue. And it was just amazing. And, you know, people may remember who are listening, but if they're not, you know, it was visits to the Capitol, it was rallies, it was press releases, it was op-eds, it was, we threw everything at it. And in the end, it did not go through. It did go through initially, but then the governor kind of decided, oh, people are not happy. And so it did not happen. And that, for me, I think is one of the biggest success stories that I've seen, you know, in partners. But also, there are so many small stories of just somebody meeting with their legislator for the first time, or writing an op-ed or a letter to the editor. So while there might be some really big successes, I think that, you know, there are lots of real successes that might not be, you know, fancy.
Flashy, and, right.
Yeah.
Right. Although thank you, because sure, that long-term care is essential for our family. So I'm so glad that you guys did that work. Jenny, is there anything you want to share as either a success story from a personal standpoint or something you saw from a partner?
Well, it's so hard to pick just one, like Sally said, but sure, you know, like we've had five partners grads go on to get elected to their school boards. Mm-hmm. We had another partner run for alder position in his neighborhood. He didn't win, but his goal was to knock on every single door in his district. And then COVID hit. So right in the middle of his campaign there, we've had people change their careers. I personally, I've always wanted to do partners myself and just never had time. I am an adult with a physical disability. I was born with spina bifida. So now I always joke, I get to do it every year because exactly. It's part of my job. So,
right.
But you know, the relationships, and when you see partners connecting to partners from other classes, mm-hmm. and like they meet each other at a conference or realize they both went through the program, it's almost like an instant relationship builder.
Yes.
And just knowing you've been through that together, it's almost like a little of its own society, if you will.
I'm curious, some of those people that went on to do big things, did they come in to the program with you like being able to identify them like, oh, there's a firecracker that's going to go on and change the world? Or how have you seen some of these participants evolve?
Not always.
Yeah.
Interesting. And so that, yeah. What would you say to people that might be listening who think, I can't do anything that big, or my voice is too small? How do you encourage folks to recognize that it is still worth it? It is still worth their time, especially because family caregivers mm-hmm. and people with disabilities have compromised time, right? Because there's just extra challenges.
Yeah, I would say no voice is too small. And I think that is what we hear from our policymakers, is that even that one phone call, that contact, it adds up. And so learning how to tell your story and telling that story to someone who's making decisions is very important. And even to the point of, even if you walk away and maybe you're going to make something better at your school district, or you know, maybe something's going to be better for your son or daughter living independently, you know, nothing is too small. And people should not think, you know, they really do have a voice. And it's not, these are all just people like you and I. These are not people who you would be on the street and be like, oh, of course they're a policy wonk, or
right.
No. They're just normal, everyday people, caregivers,
exactly.
and people with disabilities, just like us, who want to get involved.
And what I hear time and time again is that partners gave me the confidence to, you know, fill in the blank.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I would say, if you're interested at all in this, you know, yeah, you don't have to be an elected official to have an impact on our state. But just come in with an open mind and let yourself evolve.
Yes.
Because a lot of partners think they have something in mind of what this is going to be, and then they're taken in a totally different direction, and yes. their confidence grows.
And what a valuable gift to give to people, the ability to understand their disability, what that means, and to have that confidence to feel comfortable to know, you know what, I have a voice, I can make a change. Mm-hmm. So you guys should be super proud of yourself. And I know we love to ask these powerful questions, but I would feel so sad if we didn't take a step back and just let people know how they can join the Partners in Policy, when the next session starts. And then I hate to say it, everybody, you know, is always wondering, what's the cost, right? How do I pay for this?
Oh, well, I'll start with the good news. There is no cost. This is a BPDD program. It's a mix of hybrid, of in-person in Madison and virtual. So like our winter months are virtual, and the other three are in Madison. So we can do things like actually go to the Capitol. So we pay for the hotel, we pay for the meals, speakers. If there's out-of-pocket costs for transportation, we can assist with all of that. We have an application. It just came out, so you're one of the first people hearing about it. So you just need to go to our website, wi-bpdd.org. You can find it there under the Get Involved tab. Download the application, fill it out, or you can call me and I can do it with you over the phone. And it's just to give us more background, really, about you. What are your goals? What level of advocacy have you done in the past? Just to give us a sense of where we're at. And the first session is November 3rd and 4th. And then, like I say, they're spaced out about every month to May 3rd and 4th. Okay. Let me just double check in. October 2nd is the deadline, so there's lots of time. But yeah, I encourage people to give us a call if you have questions. If you want to know a little bit more about it, just let us know.
And I'm curious, is it a program that typically fills up fast? Are you always on the lookout to recruit these people? What is it? What does the application process look like?
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of always on the lookout really all year long. You know, we'll go to conferences and we'll have tables, exhibit tables, and I'm always talking to people and making a note like they would make a great partner. So we don't typically have to turn away too many people. We can take up to like 30 applicants.
Okay. Good to know. So there's room for everyone.
There's room, yeah.
And you'll make room.
And we really like to have that, you know, we want to make sure we have, you know, try to have half and half people with disabilities and family members. That's sure. That's a real goal that, you know, for us is having that mix.
And can you say the website one more time, please?
Sure. WIBPDD.org. That stands for Board for People with Developmental Disabilities.
Okay.
And then there's a Get Involved tab. You just need to click that tab and you'll find the partners in the list.
And you can Google partners in policy making. And
yeah, it comes Google it.
Too, right.
Yeah.
Yes. That's well, thank you for sharing that. I'd hate to tell everyone how wonderful this program is and not give them the details on how they can get involved, because they absolutely should get involved. But I will get back on track here. And I know that we've talked about some of the positive outcomes of this program, but I'm just curious how this work has impacted your life journey.
Well, that's Anyone? A deep question. Right. Exactly. But really, thinking about it.
I mean, I think for me, so when I first participated as a partner, I was already doing policy work at Disability Rights Wisconsin. And I will say that, you know, as a partner, it did impact me to, you know, I knew the policy part, but all the other things about having those high expectations for my son, I had those. But I also did not have as much experience spending time like this with people with disabilities. And so, you know, every year it affects me. I can be, I mean, Jenny and I, when we do our graduation, mm-hmm. we are, you know, brought to tears very often by what we have seen and seen people change. And when I came to the board, I wasn't coming to the board. I was going to be the facilitator. And so for me, that was life changing, because the previous facilitator, Lisa Pugh, who was excellent, she decided to step down. And it was like the honor of a lifetime to be asked to take this role over. And it was great. So it has been life changing.
And it has been an honor for us to have you both here. And Jenny, I can't wait to hear your answer down the road when we meet again, which we will meet again. But I want to thank you both for coming. And we will be back after this short break.
Thanks, you two. It's great to see you.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official mill plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we were just talking with Sally and Jennifer from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities about the Partners in Policy program that they put on, which is just spectacular. And I can't wait to sign up and join, although I got to be honest, I kind of want to do the in person. So maybe I can sign up in November and flunk and then do it again in the spring. I don't know.
No. It goes on. It goes on all year. So you'll do both. It's a hybrid. You'll do both the virtual and the in-person stuff.
Oh,
so
okay.
So it starts in November and you go into the spring, and the winter months you're virtual just because it's hard to get everybody here, right? And then in the spring they bring people to Madison, or since you're here in Madison, they won't have to pay for you to come here. You'll all get together and you'll have dinner and you'll be with the people that are down at the hotel, and you'll go to the Capitol and you'll get to do a lot of in-person stuff. And you'll already know each other from all of the
online stuff.
All of the hours you spent virtually. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
This was so cool for me, Liza. I was not prepared for how cool it was because I didn't realize I haven't processed my experience at Partners in Policymaking. And as I'm listening to them process their role on the other side, off air, I mentioned that I didn't do some of the homework because what you and I were doing was putting together this business, the Empowered Caregiver Community, and putting together the Empowered Caregiver Show. And I kept saying to them, and they were nodding their heads and agreeing and saying, it's fine, Kristen. I'm like, I can't do this specific homework assignment because what I'm doing is pivoting and changing to recognizing that I, because of your encouragement, Liza, want to find the confidence to really focus on empowering caregivers. So much of our work before this, you and I were working on supporting our kids, right? And people with developmental disabilities specifically, and autism. And I think that's all very valuable work, and I haven't stepped out of that. But what this opportunity has given me, and I'm now realizing, Partners was like the context. It was the community. I almost want to describe like a giant pillow. I feel like I was in this like soft, supportive pillow where I was getting directed from the universe, God, whatever you want to say, and you saying, let's do a radio show. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I've never thought about doing a radio show. While at the same time, really getting this discovery that I was on, that Nicole's going to have a future. She's going to have a path. I'm going to help her get there. But I want a future, and I want that future to be about empowering people like you and me. And so I can't give Partners more credit than I haven't given them enough credit, and I need to give them more credit right now today. That's what I got out of this conversation because it really had a big impact on me.
Yeah, I bet. And I got out of what you said that I'm really happy that you can fall for all of my crazy ideas.
I know. I know. Well, I think that's it, is that they were my reality board, right? They were like my checkpoint for, okay, how crazy is this to be doing this radio show and starting this business? And they weren't saying it was crazy. They were saying this is a form of advocacy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really has turned out to be that. Because, again, at the commercial break, we were talking with them about how many politicians we've had on. And I knew how to talk to those politicians very distinctly from lessons that they ran during Partners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, I was thinking of a few things. One, my own advocacy work, and I wish that I would have taken Partners before, but when I've shared this story before, when my son was younger, autism was not covered under insurance, and so we had a long wait list for him. So I was up there at the Capitol. We had Governor Jim Doyle at our house for a press release on changing the autism insurance mandate. So I kind of did a little self-teaching there, but it is very empowering when something like that happens, when you create a change and you can go to bed at night and say, you know what, I had a little sliver, a little drop of making that happen.
Right.
And then I think, what else can I do?
Exactly.
Right. So here we are. And then my other takeaway was just, you know, what I was saying about Caden and just his self-confidence that had come through that program. I mean, I am so proud of him for feeling like an empowered kiddo.
And, self-advocate.
Yeah, and his ability to advocate through this program and a Yippie program, which is another program that the board
was
puts on.
Mm-hmm.
It is just amazing how they you know, work with the people with disabilities to support, you know, not just support
so
them,
positive.
But empower them.
Yeah, it really is such a confidence. Positive organization. And that's why I'm so glad that we've got this collaboration with them to give them the spot once a month.
Yeah, because the caregivers' voices are important, but it's the people with disabilities when you're fighting for issues regarding disabilities that need to be heard
exactly.
Yeah, and you know, if my son would have went to a hearing through, you know, without this course, he probably would have showed up and talked about how our dog is annoying,
right?
You know what I mean? So
right,
so exactly. To give him the tools and the words and the language is phenomenal. So yeah. I love the work that the board does. That's why we have them on every month.
Exactly. So for our listeners, look out for them and look out for the work that they're doing.
Oh, yeah. And I just wanted to share that the Administration for Community Living, which was created around the fundamental principle that older adults and people of all ages with disabilities should be able to live where they choose, with the people that they choose, and with the ability to participate fully in their community, just recently announced a $20 million funding program for their first major initiative to support the 2022 National Strategy to Support Family Caregivers. So to sum that up in a sentence, there is $20 million that is going to be coming down the pike to support family caregivers.
Yep. And you and I are going after it. And you know, the other connection is the ACL is essentially the people that are behind the board. Remember Beth, who's the executive director at the board, tried to explain that to us. I don't want to try to make the connection here, but instead I just want to talk for a second about how excited we are that the ACL is going to award 5 cooperative agreements for projects to foster advancement. And we want to take advantage of that and hopefully get an opportunity to get some more funding in order to be able to spread the awareness and support family caregivers.
Right. To me, I think the awareness is such a big part. It's step one, right? You need to be aware of the problem before you take the steps to address it. And when it comes to the caregiver crisis, I think that there's a lot of awareness that could be shared and spread.
Right. Well, and we've even talked about how for ourselves, how much more we've become aware of the family caregiver role and experience and challenges and joys by doing this work. Right.
Exactly.
By getting prepared for our show and doing our classes. I also want to make sure that we include that we have been putting our heads together to talk more about some of our plans. And so we are going to do another round of classes. Mark your calendars. Powerful Tools for Caregivers is coming out virtually and in person again. We will be offering this in October. It's a 6-week course where we really go deep into exploring specific tools for communication, self-care, and assertiveness that you can implement right away in your caregiving life.
Yes. And then we are also going to be doing a wellness class. That's your bright idea. So I'm going to let you share what that's
we're
about.
We're going to do wellness, not just talk about it, lady.
We're going to talk wellness. We're going to do wellness.
We know that caregiving can be overwhelming and exhausting. We heard the music. So that's why we want to end each show with our positive note. You got this. And together we are stronger. So stay connected to the empowered caregiver community. Night, everybody.
One call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255. Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, FOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's FOGO. 608-949-8989.
ABC News.